Vijaya, Gurudev, you have saved me from the clutches of a terrible aparad, but how shall I counter the aparad I have already committed? Goswami, that aparad will not remain. Entreat rasa tattva guilelessly, and surely you will be exonerated from your aparad. Do not worry about it any longer. Vijaya, Gurudev, I now feel that I should rather maintain this body by some low profession than reveal the intricacies of rasa tattva to an undeserving person and wrongfully earn my living. Goswami, dear sons, you are blessed. Krishna has accepted you as his devotees. Otherwise, how could you have developed so much determination in the culture of bhakti? You're residents of Navadvip Dham, and Sri Gauranga has mercifully inspired you from within by his potency. Right, so then we have this element of that, this determination or this focus in rasa or in devotional service itself is the blessing of Krishna. Right? It's not going to happen otherwise, because as you mentioned, there's nothing you can do that will generate bhakti, because bhakti is not generated by the activity itself. Right? It's determined by that mood of devotion. So the Lord being pleased, then it works. And we also see here is that the aspect of being in the Dham, or living in the Dham, because he says, you are residents of Navadvip Dham. That means the mentality is, this is where I live, this is where I stay, not just, you know, we're visiting here. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's nice, you know, come check it out. Yeah, it's cool, you know, like that, you know. Meet devotees you haven't met, you know, the pizzeria, you know, it's all happening, you know, it's all, you know, so it's not, means it's that this is, one lives here, one's committed to the Dham. So from that, that also gets that special, how do you say, response. Because as we see is that Jamuna Devi, Govardhan Hill, and the dust of Vrindavan, these all three can give one love of God, right? So Navadvip and Vrindavan are non-different. So it's the same position. It still means can't really see it because it goes, the Ganga goes, it means you've all been to Vrindavan, right? So in the middle of Govardhan Hill, what's in the very middle of Govardhan Hill? Manasi Ganga, right? So in Vrindavan, as it is now, you just see it as a little lake, but generally it's a flowing river, right? Like that. So the point is you have the Ganga across there, you know, Ganga out here. And so then we know that end down there, the Devananda Gaudiya Math, that's one end of Govardhan. So it comes across this way over to this side, right? And so it's going at that slight diagonal. Where does that put the Ganga?
In the middle.
Right in the middle. Understand? So we don't realize it, but right there, we're living as basically as close as you can get to Govardhan. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Regarding the aparad that will not remain?
It will not remain because you understand it and you're dealing, so naturally it'll go away.
But the reactions of anything
that one doesn't worry about. Reactions, you can't do anything about.
But will they come or will they also go?
Why is that the anxiety?
Reactions are always the anxiety.
No, but why would a reaction be an anxiety? Okay, let us say, let's inverse this, or reverse this, okay? So, let us say the kid has done something wrong, right? So mommy is upset. And so now the kid is, what should the kid be worrying about? The reaction to that, you know, maybe, you know, no dinner, or maybe it won't be as good a dinner, or, you know, all these kind of things, or have to go to bed early, or that mommy's upset. Which of the two is actually important?
The second.
Right? You understand? Yeah. So it's all about the person. That's why this is coming up in Rasa Tattva. Right? Because it could have come up earlier. Right, just the sadhana part or anything like that. But the point is that one's dealing with rasa tattva just as something to discuss, to make a living out of, or one's dealing with rasa tattva is that you understand that this is, you know, how devotional service means, how the relationships in devotional service function. Right? So reactions is whatever reactions one deserves, that's what you deserve because we've done it. Now the point is changing the mentality. You change the mentality, then everything goes away. So if that means your reaction goes away, then fine. But it's not that we're doing this. We're avoiding offenses just so there won't be a reaction. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be, we're avoiding offenses because that displeases Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, we get love of God. If Krishna is not pleased, we don't get love of God. So you know, is it getting love of God, the problem of not getting love of God, or getting reactions, you know? So, does that make sense? So the reactions, that's up to Krishna. If he wants, it's like this, if by them going away, devotional service will go smoothly, then fine. But if by them going away, one will get distracted. You know what I'm saying? In other words, let us say everything goes away. Everything's perfect, running smoothly. All the material facilities, the money, relationships, position, power, influence, you know, you just go on and on. You know, accessories, you know, it's all happening, right? You know, like that. You know, it's like, what do you call it? You know, it's like a... You know, Dior, you know, one day, you know, the main representative from Dior shows up at your door and, you know, hands you, you know, a particular perfume that they've somehow been inspired to make just for you, right, you know, like that, you know, and it's exclusive, they made one bottle, right, you know, so, and if you like it, they'll make you another one, but if not, then, you know, they'll burn the recipe, right, you know, okay, so, you know, so it's all happening, right, like that, and so... Then you're going on like this. Now, will you remember Krishna? You understand? That's the point. Means Mother Yashoda, doesn't matter how perfect it is, she's always remembering Krishna. So for her, if it's perfect, means now everything's going to go nice for Krishna. And if there's any imperfection, it's not, oh, now more trouble for me. It's nice for Krishna. Does that make sense? Let's check the kitchen, okay? How many burners? Huh?
Five.
Okay. Now, what would you think if you had 100 burners in your kitchen? It's kind of like, what am I going to do with 100? You know, that's a lot of work, right? Yeah? Mother just showed it has 100 fires in her kitchen. Right? So it's for her, it's not the work that's a problem. You know, or maintaining those fires. You know how much, you know, it means every day how much you have to make the cow dung, put that on it every day. You know, I mean, that's a lot of work. But for her, it's not a problem, right? How many rooms?
Four,
okay. Now, what if there's 100 rooms? Then you start thinking, wow, how are we going to keep this all clean, the management of that, you know, all that. So Mother Shah, there's 100 rooms in Nanda Baba's house, right? Just means after Krishna eats breakfast, right? Or dinner, whatever it is. But after he eats breakfast, that's when we hear about it. It says, I think according to Ayurveda or something, that one should take 72 steps, you know, means proper steps, you know, before sitting down and doing nothing. And that somehow aids the digestion. So from where he eats, then to where is the place he's going to rest after breakfast, It's exactly 72 steps. It's been worked out like that, right? You understand? So that means there's a place for washing, there's a place for this, that. So everything's worked out perfectly for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then if you look at that, you could take that as a lot of trouble. But for her, it doesn't matter if the trouble or not. The point is if the trouble makes Krishna happy, she's happy. Right? That's all. So that's the whole point. It's a different perspective. Because otherwise we're looking at it in the way of prayaschittas. I can do something to get rid of. But the point is if you can't do anything to get bhakti, then why would you be looking at doing something to get rid of the reactions of not doing bhakti? Does that make sense? Like karma, then there's a very strict rule. You do that, you get your result. And if you do something wrong, then there's something exactly you can do to counter that. Does that make sense? So it's a consideration of karma, which is the basis of religion, where the people take shelter of religion because they want auspiciousness. Mm-hmm. And auspiciousness means a nice life. And a nice life means, you know, happiness. Does that make sense? But we're talking is, yes, you can do that, but devotional service is happiness so far beyond that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, don't worry about it. Krishna will take care of it, as will actually work for you. So if by getting rid of the reaction, it'll go nicer, then he'll get rid of. If by keeping the reaction, then it'll go better Krishna consciously, then he'll keep it. Because we're not working in regular karma. This is Krishna karma. Because once one starts chanting, one's actually liberated. So now the reactions to one's previous activities aren't actually directly connected. But because the mentality is still there, those reactions are connected to that mentality. So if the mentality remains, generally the reaction remains. If the mentality is already gone, the reaction's gone. Right? So therefore, there's your answer. You want to get rid of the reactions, get rid of the mentalities that cause the reactions. or that not only cause it, but the reactions are necessary to counteract. Right? So it's easy. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. Right? You know? That's all you have to worry about. You know? The 10 namaparads, you know, the namaparads, you know, it's pretty straightforward. You know, so you just give up all that and there's no need of any reactions. Does that work? Huh? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yes.
I thought Krishna only intervenes in that way with pure devotees.
No, it's with all devotees. Because the point is you're devotees. So devotees is special. Now pure devotees, now that the reason the pure devotee is in a better situation is because now the mentality is such that he's steadily doing things to please Krishna. While the neophyte means sometimes he's doing things to please Krishna, sometimes he's doing things to please himself. Does that make sense? So the point is both are devotees, but then one you could say, now this is solid, right? You know, just like the kid gets on the bicycle, you know, rides about 15, 20 feet, bumps into a tree, falls off, okay? Now, if someone asks him, oh, how did you get hurt? What does he have to say? Huh? He was riding a bicycle. But would you call that actually riding a bicycle? You know what I'm saying? You know, we're there, we're in France, right? The beginning of the, you know, Tour de France, you know, like that. They're all lined up there, you know, and then, you know, when the flag goes, they all get on their bicycles and then start bumping into each other, falling into the drains, hitting the cars, trees, everything like that. You know, then they get up and, you know, somebody makes it 30 feet before he falls over, and the other one like that. And then this way, you know, everybody's cheering them on, and, you know, like that. You know, it's like that. And of course, the main judges would have to be the Three Stooges or something. But in any case, you know, it's going on. What do we call that? Riding a bicycle. No. But are they riding a bicycle? Yes. So that's what neophyte devotee means. They're doing devotional service, but at the same time, it's not devotional service. You understand? It's not devotional service in that it's not stable and steady, right? You say someone's riding a bicycle because they can get on and ride it until wherever's the point they're supposed to get off. Does that make sense? But the child who's first, they get on, they go for some time, fall off, this, that, have problem getting on, have problem getting off, right? You know, they're riding fine, then they can't get off. So they get there, they stop, and then the bike falls over, right? You know, so all these things happen. Does that make sense? That's what neophyte means. It means you're performing devotional service, but it's not regular and stable that you'll say, yes, this is devotional service. So that's called pure devotional service. That's where it becomes stable and steady. So when it's stable and steady, we say they're riding a bicycle, right? And then there's the professionals. You understand? So that means then it goes into the uttamas. Now that's the professional. You understand?
And Krishna's involved in all of this.
Krishna's involved when you're not a devotee. Who's sitting in your heart saying, okay, you can do that, or okay, you can't do that? You understand? Krishna's involved all the way along. But because you're not recognizing him, then it's just left up to the modes of nature to take care of it.
I guess it sounds like from what you're reading that it's not like Krishna actually is personally like removing karmic reaction, if
it's favorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So or sometimes he'll not remove the reaction, or he'll remove the reactions because you actually want to be in an unfavorable situation. You want to forget Krishna. Sincerely, you want to forget. So he might remove the reaction so that you get so involved in materially that you forget. Like that. So that's why you want to make sure you're always sincere. Devotion. Does that make sense? So Krishna's always involved in the lives. The point is, when you recognize that, that's when devotional service starts. Right? And then when you're able to always recognize that, that's when it's stable. Right? When you occasionally recognize it and occasionally don't, that's the beginning stage. Does that make sense? Yes? Yes.
So to be like a resident of Navadvip or Vrindavan means it's a question of consciousness.
Yeah, being a resident is a matter of consciousness. Right? But even if you're just physically there for a long time, the effect is there if you're here. If you're in Vrindavan, then the effect is there also, but it might be not as nice.
Yes.
Right? Because you're supposed to be mature there. While here, even if you're not, still the Dham gives an effect. Yeah? Okay. Summary of chapter 29. Further consideration of rasa tattva, part 3, the rasas of Shanta, Dasya, and Sakya, right? So now we've discussed the ingredients, you know, bhava itself, you know, rati itself, and the ingredients of rasa, right? And then we've touched on that there are the five rasas and kind of what prominent or not prominent, what stands out in each. So now we'll get into the more detail of Shanta, Dasya, and Shakya. You understand? Do we see we're just following how nectar devotion works? Right? Because in part 2, it opens up the whole things about Vibhava. Right? Because you have to explain what bhava is. So Vibhava, the 64 qualities of Krishna, the devotees, the Dham, the name, all these different things. So how the bhavas work. Then in the third part, you get into the rasa itself. Right? And then after that, rasa bhas. And, you know, you don't stick mustard on your halava, right? Rasa bhas. What about if it's French mustard?
No.
So they got that little sweetness to it, you know, that cinnamon and other things in. No. Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been done.
It's been done. Been there, done that. Okay. Okay. Eager to hear the intricate details of rasa tattva from Srila Gopal Guru Goswami's divine lips. Gopal Guru Goswami, that was good. GGG. 3G. 3G, okay. Yeah, see, he was ahead of his time. It took him 500 years to catch up, right? Okay. Okay, eager to hear the intricate details of Rasa Tattva from Srila Gopal Guru Goswami's divine lips, and then embark upon the path of cultivating Rasa. Vrajanath and Vijaya Kumar decided to stay over in Jagannath Puri for the 4 months of the rainy season. When Vrajanath's grandmother heard about the spiritual benefits of staying in Sri Jagannath Kshetra during the time of the Chaturmasya Vrata, she also decided to stay. Srila Gopal Guru Goswami is extremely pleased. See, that's the thing, is the Chaturmasya Vrata, all these things that it mentions the glories of them, because if you hear about the glories, then you want to do it. But the actual point is, why are those glories there? Why would you get such benefit unless it pleases Krishna? Right? That's the actual point. It pleases Krishna. That's why. So the devotee is doing it because it pleases Krishna. But in the beginning, sometimes we do it because we see what's, you know, the special benefits. But eventually, it's not about the special benefits. It's about just Krishna's happy. Right? And if those special, just like we're not worried about the bad reactions, we're not worried about the good ones. Right? Because both of them have to go at some time. Our attachment to pious and impious has to go. It has to be just Krishna. Right? So, yeah.
So it's a matter of our consciousness if we realize why Krishna is all attractive. Is it attractive because it looks nice, or it's attractive because it's pleasing to Krishna?
Yeah, I mean, he is attractive, but yeah, because it's okay. You meaning that I like looking at Krishna because I like looking, or I like looking at Krishna because looking at Krishna makes Krishna happy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that. That's the difference. So the point is the spiritual benefits are good anyway. It means that's the fact, whether one's focused on them or not. So if one doesn't know by hearing about it, then nice. One's inspired that this is a good thing. Srila Gopal Guru Goswami was extremely pleased, saying, "Vrajanath, Vijay Kumar, I have developed a deep vatsalya affection for you, so much that I would feel your absence greatly if you were to leave. I am extremely happy that you are here. To find a bona fide spiritual teacher may be possible, but sincere disciples are very rarely found." Now that's an interesting twist. Because everyone says, no, but where do you find the bona fide guru? You know, there's no bona fide. No, it means this is an associate of the Lord, right? So he can say, he says, no, the bona fide gurus, those are the easy ones to find. The sincere disciple, now that's hard to find. I like that one. you got to stick that right up on the internet there, right? Humbled by Srila Gopal Guru Goswami's words and presence, Vrajanath asked, "Gurudev, kindly explain to us the different rasas and their relation to the different bhavas, such as vibhava, which is the basic cause of the appearance of prema." Right? Now, here is that they're initiated by Raghunath Das Babaji. Right? But now Gopal Guru is dealing with them like the guru. So that means he's the Siksha Guru. And their own guru said, since you're going there, take advantage of his association. So you see, the relationship is the same.
Yeah.
Right? That's the platform, the Sadguru. Sadguru means that where that platform is the same, the relationship, like with the Diksha Guru. On the spiritual, not the thing that, you know, the Siksha Guru will just talk spiritual stuff, and the Diksha Guru, you got to work out, you know, should we live here or there, how much money, or should I take this job or not? Yeah, so like that. That's the good thing about Siksha Gurus, you miss out on that one. Like that. Goswami, your inquiry is of a very elevated order, right? Because he wants to know about the rasas in relationship to how that functions within Vibhava and the others. He's not saying, tell us about Shanta Rasa. Right? Because he's telling us, how does this Vibhava work within Shanta Rasa? What causes, right? What's the basic cause of the appearance of prema in these other rasas? And what is the Anubhavas that will then manifest after that? Right? Means when we're saying here, when we're just talking Vibhava, Anubhava, right? Because there's five of them. What we're meaning here is what causes it, and what are the responses, the emotional, physical responses. Right, we're grouping the five, you know, into two, Vibhava, and all the other, that means, and the other three as Anubhava, right? Because the Stai Bhava, it's the one that's controlling it all. So that goes without saying, because you're saying Shantara, so that's the Stai Bhava. So how does that interacting with Krishna, how does the Vibhava and the other three Anubhavas work? Right? Does that make sense? Just like we take it and group it in another way, is you have the Stai Bhava and the Samagri Bhavas. Right? Means you have the Stai Bhava, means the main rasa, and the ingredients of rasa, the other four. Does that make sense? So making the five into two, that's not a problem. It's not that something goes away or something merges. It's just what's the predominance of how you're looking at it. Right? Okay. Your inquiry is of a very elevated order. Please listen carefully, for I speak only by the inspiration of Sri Chaitanya. The beginning rasa is Shantarasa, and the related Stai Bhava is known as Shantarati. Because the rati is the attachment. So you're saying that Shantarasa is that taste. Right? But rasa includes all those five aspects. So the real essential point is it's Shantarati. It means the attachment to Krishna is in Shanta. The ananda experienced in Brahmananda by the Nirvishesha Vadis, or the Atmananda experienced by the yogi, steeped in meditation upon the inner self, is weak in comparison to the exaltation felt in realization of Isha, the Supreme Lord. Right? So in the other words, both of them are in a neutral state, or a static state. But he's saying the difference between them is very vast. So Brahmananda, you're not having a dynamic interaction, but you're not also recognizing the personality of Godhead. While in Shanta, even though it's also not dynamic in being interactive, but you're recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because of that, that taste is so much greater. Yeah. Right? The Surup of Isha, the Supreme Controller, is the source and cause of that Ananda. Right? So it's the form of the Lord. The beatific transcendental form of the four-handed Sri Narayan is the supportive alambana of the Shanta Rasa sentiment. Sri Narayana is embellished with absolute qualities such as omnipotence and opulence. Hence, these qualities are prominent in the Vishaya and Anubhavas of this Stai Bhava, right? Because the Vishaya means who is the enjoyer of the rasa. The devotee is the ashray, right? The shelter of the rasa. Right, so the alambana is all these different qualities of the Vishaya. Does that make sense? The qualities of the Vishaya is the alambana, right? The specific quality that's now playing at present in that's inspiring the rasa. That's the Udipan. So the point is it's what these qualities are prominent in the Vishaya, means in Krishna, and Anubhavas of this Stai Bhava. Right. Peaceful, equipoised yogis take shelter of Shantarati. Self-realized, liberated transcendentalists who are Atmarama and the elevated renunciates who possess unflinching faith are in Shantarasa. For amongst the Atmaramas are the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanat Kumar, and Sananda, who look like young boys and dress in sannyasi clothes. Initially realized in the Nirvishesha Brahman, they later became attached to the exquisite beauty of Sri Narayana and began to worship his personal form, the embodiment of transcendence. Renunciates whose spiritual path has been cleared of impediments, and who have cut off all material attachments by the practice of Yukta Vairagya, and who are still not able to forsake completely the desire for mukti, enter into Shantaras. So in other words, that element of being very much appreciative of being freed from material entanglement, right? That happiness and that's there, and then the relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like there's something, means it's all spiritual, but that's the point, is that the devotional is mixed with spiritual, right? Rather than it's just purely devotional. Does that make sense? Yeah. But it's still a spiritual, so it's transcendental. It's not material. Yes.
So in Shanta, there are mainly mental activities going on, not so much.
Yeah, like that's service. The point. The service doesn't manifest necessarily physically. It's by the meditation. That's why he mentioned here the renunciates. What did he say? The Atmaramas, liberated transcendentalists, self-realized liberated Atmarama, elevated renunciates, and yogis, right? So you get that a lot in those higher planets above the Prajapatis, right? They're Mahar, so Jana, Tapa, and Satya. Then that's where they are, Your, how you say, Jhana, I think they're, the intellectual tapa, the austerities and that, and Satya, the yogis. Right? That's kind of where their place is. So now, of those who then therefore recognize the Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that Atmarama aspect plus the Bhakti aspect is there. Right? So then their taste is much greater. So we see that in I think it's the prayers of the personified Vedas, then it's referring to a conversation that I think happened on Tapaloka between the four Kumaras and the sages there. Right? Yes.
Is that the stage when the yogis can take up the service?
Yes, it means they can take up devotional service. So they may take it up in a higher rasa, or they may just take it up and just be there in the Shanta rasa. So there's some, neutrality, yes, like that. That's why. But it's Shanta, it's peacefulness. That's the whole point. It's a.
A significant part of their consciousness is the awareness of being, or happens to being freed from material entanglement.
It's not so much significant. It's just that they like that. Okay. They like that fact, that they're freed from that. So it's part of the position. But I think when it comes into Vrindavan, even that part goes away. But in Vaikuntha, it's not necessary it goes away. So in Vaikuntha, that's why he mentioned about Narayan, Sri Narayan here, is because in Vaikuntha, your predominance of devotees is going to be, or at least that you hear about, is the servitorship, right? Dasyaras. But there's plenty of Shanta devotees there also. Right? So they just come to appreciate the scene, how there's beauty, what's going on, like that, but they may not, just like you go to a festival and just watch. You don't have to be organizing or taking part directly, just being there and appreciating, is so much better. So in Vaikuntha, you have those devotees also, like that.
Sometimes we hear that while doing chanting, you feel peacefulness. That is the same Santa, tasting the Santara, so it is something else.
But what's the point?
While doing chanting.
No, it means don't repeat the question. What's the point of the question?
The point means this same Santa Rasa which we're talking about.
No, but why are you worried about that? Why do you care?
Well, just to get understanding of the Santa Rasa.
Oh. The thing is that you have all these other aspects. The point is yes, you could say in a very mild form, but it's not that now I'm in Shanta Ras. That's what I'm saying is, what's the purpose? You know what I'm saying? It's not important to connect it like that, because we're taking, what is the person's Stai Bhava? So that's not the Stai Bhava. Because peacefulness is also, it mentions, is also these different Anubhavas and Santri Bhavas, like that. Even peacefulness is one of them. So the reaction to chanting is less peaceful because one doesn't have any material absorption. That's why we're saying liberation isn't a big thing. But we don't try to make something special out of it, right? What I'm saying? Because we take it that liberation's special, therefore this seems like something important. But it's not actually. That's just that comes automatically. Right?
Santarat Maharaj means the devotee is attracted by the beauty of Krishna.
Yeah, it seems here that the beauty is the predominant element, like that, because it's the foremost of all the opulences.
Yes.
Everything starts from beauty. like that. So it could also include other aspects, but that's where its predominance is. The following are some of the Udipana in Shantaras. Studying the principal Upanishads, living in solitary places, relishing the appearance of one's spirituality, discussing tattva, philosophical truths, establishing the preponderance of the Vidya Shakti, which bestows knowledge and learning, appreciating the Vishwarup, the universal form of the Lord, associating with devotees situated in Jnana Mistura Bhakti, debating upon the Upanishads with persons of equal intellect and tendency. Right? So all these, because you're in a solitary place, so then now you can nicely think of the Lord, right? Does that make sense? Studying the Upanishads, then that's that spiritual, you can appreciate, you know, Krishna there. Does that make sense? So all these things that bring out, these are the Udipan for remembering Krishna. All these different aspects, because then they're discussing with someone equal realization. So then that will just naturally nourish each other. Is what they're appreciating, understanding from it. Right? Further, Udipana in Shantaras are the fragrance of the tulsi buds offered at the feet of the Lord, the sound of the conch shell, sacred mountains, holy forests, Siddha Kshetra, spiritually potent places, the river Ganga, the renunciation of material attachments, and the conviction that Kala is the destroyer of everything. Such are the vibhavas for tasting Shanta Rasa. That makes sense. You know, so that's also the position of liberation. So as one moves more from the, this doesn't make sense. So these are the things that are more prominent for someone in, it means if we're taking preliminary to that, is Jnana Yoga. Right, because they'll appreciate these elements, right? Does that make sense? And then that will then, as it will mature into Shantarasa. Does that make sense? So these are and these are all elements of the devotional process. So as one goes from Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga into Dhyana Yoga into, you know, full Bhakti Yoga, then, you know, probably talks about the yoga ladder. So this is a natural step. So you find that. You know, this list here is these are what's prominent to you. Then you know that it's moving forward in that way. Does that make sense? And if they're not, it doesn't worry about it, because you can directly connect the activities to Krishna and just sidestep all this. So it's not, does that make sense? It's not important, yes.
So it's not a pure state, can you say? Like it's Jnana Mishra Bhakta?
No, it means that they like associate with devotees in that. It means, in other words, it's the element of the discussion of knowledge. Like that.
So that's the impurity?
No. See, is the Shanta Rasa itself, these are the situations that inspire them. Because they remember Krishna in these situations. You understand? Because these are the Udipan. It doesn't mean that they're attached. These are the things that bring out, because then if the Vishwarup, then you see how Krishna is everywhere. You know, all these different things, you know, just remember. What I was saying is that these same things are the natural elements of the mode of goodness. Right? And so because of the mode of goodness, therefore it has that element of knowledge to it. So starting from there, but these same things remain when one gets to the platform of pure goodness, and this is in directly rasa. Does that make sense? It was a side point. Yes.
Looks like a lot of renunciance in this rasa.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. Is that means karma and jnana? What do they mean? They mean material attachments, right? So karma means attached to attachments, and jnana means attached to detachments. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing. So that's why we're saying is that this will be along the line of what the jnana, the jnana yoga is. But this has come into the position that's actually within bhakti, and that it is the thing. It's just the situation. Yeah, so the renunciation, that's what I said before. Peaceful, equipoised yogis, self-realized liberated transcendentalists, who are Atmaraman, elevated renunciates, who possess unflinching faith, or in Shanta Ras. But the point is it's not a problem if those elements are there. Oh, I'm in Shantaras. The point is when that deepens, then it turns into Dasa. When that deepens, it turns into the next one. So the point is those in Shantaras, it just stays there. It doesn't go beyond that. That's where they're satisfied. That's the mode of interaction. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So these Udupans could also be for other styles.
Yeah, also. You know, as mentioned here, smelling the tulsi buds at the feet of the Lord, the sound of the conch, all these, it's the same thing. Holy forest means there's all the forests in Vrindavan, and so remembering, you know, Kadiravan or this and that, then you're reminded of the pastime, so therefore, yeah. But these are their group, and basically that's where it remains within. But it's not, that point is these and something more that we'll hear, that would be dasya. Does that make sense? So it's not that these things, just like Shanta is appreciation. If you don't have appreciation for someone, how do you have a relationship with them? So just because I have appreciation, that doesn't mean I'm in Shantara. So you have to see, but where, how do you express that appreciation? Is it just in just appreciation, or do you actually render service, or there's friendship, or there's parental? Does that make sense? That's it.
We had a similar discussion when I talked about Shraddha and then Sadhu Sangha, how it's building more and more.
Yes, it's building more and more. Yeah, it's the same thing. That's what Prabhupada mentions. He says, when it deepens, then you get the next one. When that intensifies, then you get the next one. Right? Like that. So this means it doesn't intensify beyond this. Yes.
So, Maharaj, in Buddhist, the Pure Land sect, they also worship or meditator of Amitabha Buddha, so, and there also a lot of renunciation. So it's kind of a Shantaras also.
It means the point is see, that element of spiritual peacefulness, that's the element. But we want to avoid that we try to keep connecting it to rasa, because the point is it happening on that level? Because in the material world, rasa is happening. But the point is the mechanics are the same. But that doesn't mean it's on the same level. Right? Rasa is on the devotional level, the emotional level, and the sensual level. Does that make sense? Same mechanics. You understand? So that's why when we're talking here, we're saying Shanta Rasa, we're meaning on Vaikuntha Rasa. So just because there's symptoms of the same thing because of the mechanics in the lower two doesn't mean that now it's that. That's why I keep asking this point. Why do we have to attach rasa at the end of the statement? You know? Yesterday I really liked the lunch, so that was appreciation of lunch. So does that mean I'm in Shanta Rasa? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's what it means. We don't attach rasa to it. It means now that we've caught this part, then now it's like everything becomes seen through this vision of Shanta Rasa. Does that make sense? So that we want to avoid. The point is this is what Shanta Rasa is. The mechanics are the same. Someone who is attached to peacefulness definitely goes out into a solitary place. You know, he feels this is nice. Like you take a yoga retreat and you go out to this really beautiful place, you know, a little bit of a meadow, so it's not too big, so it feels empty. Small enough that everybody fits there, but enough space for everybody so you don't have to get anybody's aura, right? You know, and then there's if you have a bit of a hill, it's even better because most Westerners aren't into just flat, right? You know. Like that, you know, it's like, you know, they're saying people live in the Midwest, it's flat. They move to the cities, they move somewhere else where there's something big, right? You know, so they can't handle flat, right? So you have to have a little bit of a little hill, and then there should be a little creek or a little brook. Not, you know, just loud enough to have a little bit of something, but not too loud that it's overpowering and stuff like that. Does that make sense? You know, so then you have all that, then there'll be an ecstasy. Oh, so peaceful, so nice, so this, that. So, but that's not Shanta Rasa that we're discussing here. That's just appreciating peacefulness. You know what I'm saying? So the Buddhists aren't in Shanta Rasa with Krishna, no.
It seems they have attachment to Amitabha, or they have.
So do they think Amitabha's form is eternal? Do they say that once they attain spiritual perfection, then their form will remain and Amitabha Buddha's form will remain? And on that platform of that they both have form, they will interact. Is that the philosophy?
Different ideas.
Means, in other words, everybody kind of disappears and merges into the Brahman. You know, like that. So therefore, they're not devotees. It's not Shanta Rasa because it's temporary. Shanta Rasa is eternal. It's called Stai Bhava, means fixed, eternal. You understand? That means, okay, here's a white rock. Here's another white rock. So are they the same? Are they the same?
Yeah.
So there's no difference between these two rocks. Is there a difference between these two rocks?
It's rocks, but some difference.
Okay, so it's different rocks. Okay, but there's some common quality of that light kind of color. See over there? Yeah? So, but that doesn't make them the same rock. They're two different rocks. Right? So just because there's some quality that's a little bit the same. My uncle drives a pink Cadillac, right? Does that make sense? You know, a 57, you know, with all those big fins on the back, you know, top down, you know, the little bullet things out the front. You know, the pink, right? You know, Pasadena, the whole scene, right? And a little girl's walking by, she's wearing a pink dress. So is the dress and the Cadillac the same? Is it pink? You understand?
She might like to get a ride in that
thing.
Only because it's pink.
Huh?
Only because it's
pink. It's only because it's pink, yeah. Yeah, Daddy, a pink Cadillac.
What do you think of Hello Kitty?
Yeah, of course. Does that make sense? So it's just because there's something, they don't click there, oh, hey, they're great devotees and all that, so now we can be Buddhists and go back to Godhead. No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You understand? Buddhists, devotees. Buddhists, devotees. Different. Right? They both have shaved heads, you know, they both have, you know, two eyes and, you know, like that. You know, they both eat, you know, like same that, you know, say like that. Like
almost
that.
The same colored
robes. Yeah, similar colored robes, you know, so, you know, more this color kind of, you know, like that. You know, so hey, you know, I mean, as it is, whenever I go traveling, everyone thinks I'm a Buddhist, right? The other day, I think, I forget what airport I'm going through, they had my shoes on, you know, this high I'm going by. And this guy goes by the other way and says, "Wow, you're the tallest Buddhist I've ever seen." So does that mean we're Buddhists? That makes sense? Yeah, so you have to be able to distinguish. In other words, you've used the intelligence to put things together, but you have to be able to use the intelligence to tell the difference also. Otherwise, it's not balanced. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, there's similar elements. That's why the Buddhists appreciate the process, because it has similar elements to actually devotional service. But they're not doing it for devotional service. But still, the activity gives a similar result. But the amount of that result is hardly anything compared to devotional service, right? But in comparison with what you get out of the material world, it's much greater, right? The results of jnana is greater than the results of karma. So that's all. They're functioning the path of jnana, so they're going to get a higher taste. That's all. But it's a boring taste. You know, after a while, they get bored, so then they take up the activity. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like that. Such are the vibhavas for tasting shanta rasa. Right, so these are the qualities that the Lord is connected with. So that's the Udipan. Prajanath, what are the anubhavas in Shantaras? Goswami, a vision fixed upon the tip of the nose, activities like that of an avadhut, eyes to the ground while walking. Right, because if you don't keep your eyes to the ground, you don't know where you're going, so you might step on something. So therefore, the one of the points in the renounced order is you're looking at the ground. So that you see where you're going, that you don't step on anything. While everybody else is, you know, enjoying the ambience, right? You know, like that.
Does it also have the element of avoiding contemplation?
And that comes automatically. But the reason you're doing is not to avoid making eye contact, is to, you know, avoid stepping on bugs and whatever else happens to be there. You know, anacondas, you know, anything like that.
That was for the Franciscans. They would look down, not to contemplate.
Yeah, well, I guess they didn't. I guess it's, see, the thing is, the Franciscans, depending on what season it is or where they are, because they're up in the mountain, it's a cold, so probably there aren't any ants out, so therefore there's no one to step on. And there's no anacondas, so, you know. No, so that. But the point is that's a side point. The point is that no living entity is fearful because of you. Right? If you remember from Manu, that's one of the main elements. No one's afraid because you won't harm them. Right? So that mood is there. So you're looking at the ground. That's the more important thing. The other things comes automatically. Like that. So those are side benefits. You know. So what I'm saying is that may be there, but it's not the main focus. Fondness for showing the jnana mudra. Lack of antipathy against those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord. Paucity of devotion, even for devotees, favored by the Lord. The desire to sever all material ties and become a jivan mukta. Impartiality, selflessness, and material apathy. The extraordinary influences of, okay, so yeah, we catch here is that, so some of these is that mood, but that with that mood comes the particular forms of that. But the mentality is the important element. Then you see the physical aspects of it. Yes? That's this. It means you're making a point. That's you're making a point. And then this is, if someone else has made the point, then this is your, what you're saying. But, because otherwise, how do you know that, you know, everyone's just talking? So when you make the point, then you use that. Mm-hmm. And then when they're saying that, then this, okay, this is my response. So everything's very, very clear, because in the modern, you can't always tell what they're saying or what they're doing. So it's, yeah. Okay. The extraordinary influence of this rati are freedom from ahankar, false ego, and mamata, possessiveness, and the taking of vows of silence. Such are the anubhavas in Shantaras. Right. So the anubhavas, they're talking about the moods that are there. Right. So these are the things that go along with sitting in solitary places and stuff. So they may, you know, be thinking of the Lord, so they'll go into meditation, so they'll focus on the end of their nose. Right? Or they may start acting like an avadhut, you know, so they're not worried about all these things. But you see, it all goes together because there's freedom from ahankar. So there's paucity of devotion even for devotees favored by the Lord, but there's freedom of ego. So it's not because they think they're better. It's just that they're in the shanta position, so they don't actually, you know, make too much distinction there. You know, they just know everyone's devotees and they appreciate that. So the devotees remind them of the Lord and the greatness of the Lord. So it doesn't, it's not an udipan, you know what I'm saying, for that. While for other devotees, and that specialness, the devotee gets some special mercy that may create some inspiration in them. And then, does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not specific to them. Yes? Avadhut means you don't really follow the rules, right? But you're not a, you know, modern bleeding heart liberalist, you know, because it says here, freedom from ahankar and possessiveness. That's how you tell the difference. Does that make sense? Sure. I'm kind of getting the Anubhav here is that, what did he say? Right. Do you need to rephrase the question or take a further element in the question? Or Avadhut means you don't follow the rules. So you just do whatever you like because you're so absorbed. It's not because you want to do it, it's that you're so absorbed in Krishna you don't necessarily follow, do anything properly. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. You know, it's just like sometimes you're thinking one thing, doing other things, and it doesn't exactly work out. So if you were doing like, if you're like that all the time, that's an avitude. Right? You know, like Nityananda Prabhu, you know, sometimes, you know, at Srivas Thakur's house, the kirtan's going and all that, and then he starts thinking about, you know, the cowherd boys and that. So he takes off his lower cloth and ties it around his head, like the cowherd boys, right? You know, so he's just thinking of that rasa and that, you know, they tie a turban on their head, you know, that kind of one that they do, a gumshoe kind of around the head, you know, like that. But, you know, he's not exactly well dressed. You know? You know, so that's avitude. Is just so absorbed in the mood, they don't actually see the externals. You see it now and again, there's a few devotees who are like that. They just don't worry, they don't think about the externals. You point it out to them, they'll correct it. But they just don't think about it. But it's not like, you know, why do we have to think about this? You know, like that. It's not some issue. It's just they don't. Does that make sense? So that's kind of avidhut. Or they're very unique, you know, it's just they do everything in a very unique way. You know, it's very different from everyone else. I'm not worried about, like, I remember hearing about one devotee that he keeps it, you know, it's, you get this concentrated cow urine here at the Goshala. Mm-hmm. So he keeps a bottle of that. And what he does is when he checks the seating, and if the seats are full on the airplane, he puts that stuff on. Doesn't wash it off. Then when he gets on and sits down, guaranteed the other people in the seats talk to the stewardess and they move. So he gets the whole thing to himself. Now that's an avitude. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It's not an issue, it's just you're just being practical. Your practical method socially doesn't fit in with anybody else. Does that make sense? Yeah. You're laughing at the example, or you know the person?
Okay. No.
Okay. Okay. But you've been one of the ones that moved, huh? Okay, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's avitude. You know? Always inspired, always this and that, but their social way they deal is totally different from everybody else. That's avitude. You know what I'm saying? It's positive. It's not a matter of ego. It's just a matter of just they're different. You know? So it's generally, it's something that happens, but it's not a recommended. Because then your common person can't appreciate the avidhut. So that's why then they'll act in such a way that people can appreciate. And then from there take the, you know, especially more sophisticated persons, you know, that they appreciate a more sophisticated approach. So.
Perfume. More sophisticated.
Yeah, more sophisticated. Okay. The vikaras, as a result of the anubhavas, are yawning and stretching of the body, giving instructions on devotion, offering obeisances to Sri Hari, and glorifying him with prayers. Right, so this is, means these are the reactions. It means unless it was already mentioned like that, then these are the physical symptoms. Rajana. Because something... Yeah. Sometimes you see, I'm not sure, is that and sometimes in the kirtans of that you hear stories of Narad Muni or Lord Shiva stretching or yawning like that, you know, in the kirtans and stuff. Rajana, what are the sattvika vikar, ecstatic transformations in Shantaras?
The
instructions on devotion.
Instructions on devotion means that they get so inspired by the Lord, because it's because one of the main elements within Shanta is knowledge, right? So therefore, since they get inspired, then they start to speak on devotion, because right? They're devotees. We're talking about this is the form, is the environment in which they express their devotion to the Lord. Goswami, nearly all the sattvika vikar, such as romancha, horripilation, stumba, being stunned, and sweta, perspiration, frequently occur in shantaras. The exception is pralaya, devastation resulting in falling to the ground, which is absent in shantaras. Right? Because being conscious is very much part of their rasa, right? Because it's not a matter of emotional interaction, it's just being conscious, you know, like that. Furthermore, sattvika vikar with dipta lakshana, vigorously glowing symptoms do not appear in shanta rasa. Right? In other words, it's at a lesser level. It's not the fully bright, you know, so it'll be more like the coals, you know, like that. It's there, but it's not like what you'd see in the other devotees. Rajanath, what are the sanchari bhavas in this rasa? Goswami, the most commonly seen sanchari bhavas in all categories of shanta rasa are nirveda, remorse, dhriti, patience, harsha, smiling, mati, understanding, smriti, reminiscence, vishada, of dejection, utsukao, eagerness, avega, intense emotion, and vitarka, argumentativeness. Rajanath, how many kinds of shanta rati are there? Right, because he gave a thing in all categories, so it gives an idea that there's something. Goswami, shanta rasa rati is the stai bhava in shanta ras, and there is two varieties, sama, equipoise, and sandra, concentrated. Asampragyata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, and the yogi perceives the spurti, manifestation of the Supreme Lord, within his heart. The body registers symptoms such as harsha, smiling, kama, desire, and romancha, horripilation. This is how sama shanti rati is manifested.
Which desire? Symptoms.
Because the how you say means for any of these elements, I would expect, because these just go back to the other too, you know, just like the one comes back to the other. Means your prayojana always means the aniruddha always comes back to prajumna, you know. So then I would expect be coming back to these elements of vibhava. You know, wanting to be in a solitary place, or wanting to do something, or wanting to offer obeisances, or glorify, or, you know, something. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, one is completely freed from all avidya, nescience, and dualism. When the devotee sees the Supreme Lord face to face in the state of Samadhi, he experiences ineffable bliss known as Sandra Ananda, the hallmark of Sandra Shanti Rati. Right? So in other words, as equipoise is concentrated, like there's two levels of the samadhi, where you're seeing, you know, being able to appreciate the presence of the super soul, and then when you can actually, you're seeing the Lord face to face. Right? Like that. So these two, okay. When the devotee sees the Lord face to face in the state, okay, shantaras, so the bliss is much greater. So then there's the sama and the sandra concentrated, but the responses would be the same. It's just going to be more of the response or less of the response. Shantaras may also be divided into paroksha, indirect, and sakshakara, direct. Oh. paroksha is indirect. That's the interesting thing. It's indirect. Oh, okay. Paroksha means more in the levels of means like you have the levels of consciousness. You have the levels of how you gain knowledge. So paroksha means what you've heard from others. So it's indirect. Aparoksha means what you experience yourself. You're directly experiencing, but not through the senses. It's through the subtler. It's through the mind. Okay. Sukadev Goswami Bilva Mangal Thakur had attained the Nirvishesh Brahman through jnana, but they rejected the result in Brahmananda for the Bhakti Rasananda, immortal nectar of bhakti. The famous and most erudite Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, an associate of Sri Chaitanya, is another example. Vrajanath, Gurudev, the subject of Shantaras is now clear. In other words, indirect. Paroksha and improksha. So in other words, they were doing devotional service and came to that platform, or they came to that because we see here in the Samadhi that you're freed from the material entanglement, right? In the lower level, well, no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, right? So that's the lower level of Samadhi. So they're liberated. So in other words, there's the person who's gone through the process in connection with devotion comes to that platform. That's direct. And there's the person who's got to that liberated platform by some other process. And then on that platform of Brahmananda, they've rejected Brahmananda for bhakti. Right? So he gave the example of Sukadeva Goswami Bilva Mangal Thakur and Sri and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Right? So now we can add to the list of those who have come to the Brahman platform. It's a few more now. Does that make sense?
Does that mean that they start to have a Shantaras?
Not necessarily. It just means that they came to that. But it could be. But it's not specifically meaning that. They're just saying that they've come to that position indirectly than directly. Rajanath, Gurudev, the subject of Shantarasa is now clear. Kindly explain the intricacies of Dasyarasa. Goswami, spiritual teachers also designate Dasyarasa as Priti Bhakti Ras, pleasurable, devotional, mellow. The Lord's servitors receiving his favor are of two kinds, Dasya, those who consider themselves as subordinate servitors, and Lalya, those who consider themselves personally maintained and watched over by him. That makes sense. One is you just think, I'm the servitor, you know, but you're not focusing. Of course, if you ask, you know, you have nice arrangements. How is that? Oh, it's the Lord's grace, of course. But that's not his mood of service, right? The mood is just, I'm going to do service. You know, okay, there's things to do. So it's not focused so much on their own maintenance. Right, protection. While the other is just the Lord's always watching, always protecting, always taking care, and that's his mood of dasya. Right?
But those who are in the position of being and work with Krishna's sons, are they in that second?
You would have that element, but their relationship is vatsalya. But you could say is that has that aspect, because in other words, something always has all those below it. So that means then within the higher rasas, above servitorship, so they may have one or the other. Or you might have both, but at different times you're tasting different ones. Right? Thus, Priti Bhakti Rasa is divided into the two. Sambrahma Priti Dasya, respectful service, and Gaurav Priti Dasya, the attitude of mundane, maintained dependence. Right? So does that make sense? So that aspect there, when we see this process of surrender, then we see the Lord is my maintainer, the Lord is my protector. So we're coming in, the element of dasya within the other is Krishna is the maintainer and protector. Right? So this how you say it? Gaurav Priti Dasya. Right? Yes.
Can we say that one of them takes shelter and the other one surrenders?
The other?
Surrenders.
The other takes shelter. the other surrenders. These are just symptoms of surrender, because that's what is given is there. It's a matter of, it's just which is the mood. In other words, he's the Lord, so I want to serve him. And the other ones, he's the Lord, he's taking care of me.
So that's not a qualitative difference?
No, it's just there's two different moods, that's all. Right? Because respectful service, because the other one doesn't necessarily mean that respectful attitude can be there, has to be there.
Mm.
Right? So that element of dasa, as we mentioned, the higher rasas have to contain the lower rasas. So then we see is that when you have that aspect in Vrindavan, it will be this aspect of Lalya. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Vrajanath, kindly elucidate sambrama priti rasa. Goswami, sambrama priti rasa. Reverential affection towards Vrajendra Nandana Krishna appears in those devotees whose self-conception is, I am the servitor of Krishna. As this priti progressively deepens, it manifests sambrama priti rasa. The mellow of reverential service. Krishna's servants, Krishna and his servants are the alambana of his rasa. Right? So even there is that they can appreciate any other devotees, but they'll see, oh, the service rendered by the gopis. Right? So it's the service rendered that is inspiring them.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mother Jashoda, she takes care of Krishna so nice, she serves him so nicely. Does that make sense? So that service of the devotees. Right? So Krishna himself, whatever is the aspect that inspires you, so therefore you want to serve. And then the devotees, that they serve the Lord. Vrajanath, what is the sarup of Krishna related to sambrama priti rasa? Goswami. Gokula Krishna's original two-handed form is the object of sambrama priti rasa. However, additionally, as the object of this rasa, Krishna may manifest his opulent two-handed form in some spiritual regions, and in other regions his opulent four-handed form. As the two-handed Krishna playing the flute in Gokula, he wears a peacock feather in his crown and is dressed as a cowherd boy. However, in other spiritual regions, the two-handed Krishna is dressed opulently with ornaments and jewels. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In other words, the element is that it's not a problem with the peacock feather, but the point is the peacock feather is the opulence. Right? All you have to do is just put a peacock feather and it works. But the four-handed form, that element, or the element, or even if it's two-handed with opulence, then it's a matter of all the jewels and everything else go along with it. It's not a problem that there's a peacock feather there. Right? It's another one of those things you get overly worried about. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Division 235, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead, embellished with innumerable transcendental qualities, is the embodied alambana for the bhakti rasa tasted by the four kinds of dasya bhaktas, respectful servitors. Okay. Sri Hari is Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, the transcendental body wherein millions of universes are lodged in every pore. He is Krivambudhi, an ocean of compassion, whose achintya mahashakti, inconceivable awesome potency, is unfathomable by human intellect. He is sarva siddhi nishevita, the repertory of all mystical perfections, and avataravali bija, the primal cause of all the varieties of incarnations, such as the guna avatars, lila avatars, and shaktivesh avatars. He is Atmarama Gunakarshi, as he charms the Atmaramas, self-satisfied yogis, including the most illustrious Sukadeva Goswami. He is the Ishwara, who controls and regulates everything, and is thus Paramaradhya, the supreme object of worship for the jivas and devas alike. He is sarvagya, omniscient, suhrida vrata, infallible in his vow, samridhiman, absolutely opulent, shama shila, forgiving, and sharanagata palaka, the protector of the devotees who have taken his shelter. He is dakshina, the supreme icon, of liberality and munificence, and satyavachana, as his words are always true and never prove false. He is dakshina, unlimitedly expert, and sarva subhankara, as he always acts as everyone's well-wisher and benefactor. He is pratapi, majestic and valorous, and dharmika, the symbol of religiosity. He is always Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. Right, this idea is that it's spontaneous, but he is always seeing through the eyes of scriptures. Even in the Vrindavan Leela, they always are talking about the scriptures. They refer something that should be done. Like, why means during the midday, then the gopis, they want to go out and see Krishna, right? But they have duties at home. No? So how will they get out of the house to see Krishna? What is their excuse? What within their duties would allow that? Yeah, so worship of the sun god. Right? Or some other... So for that, then you go out of the house to the temple. You understand? So if it wasn't for the scriptural injunction, how would the gopis get out of the house? Now the desire to go and meet Krishna, and that's spontaneous. But it's still, the scriptural rules are there. We have the idea of spontaneous. You just throw them all and just do whatever you like. That's called the mode of ignorance. So Krishna always sees and acts according to scripture. But the point is within that, it's spontaneous. Like that. These are the achintya shakti, because it seems, well, that's contradictory. It may be, but it doesn't matter. It's achintya, it works. Right? Bhakta Surit, the best friend of his devotees. Varanya, magnanimous. Tejasvi, radiant. Influential. Influential, valorous, and most powerful. Kritagya, grateful. Kritiman, famous. Vardiyan, the performer of wonderful deeds. Superior to everyone. The Balavan, the most powerful. And Prema Vashya, subjugated by the love of his devotees. Vrajan, okay. So these are all the things that inspire them. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? So these are the things, when they say his form, it means these aspects. Because the form and his qualities are non-different. Right? Because if he's being famous, what does he look like? That'll be different from Viryan, the performer of different wonderful deeds, or Balavan, most powerful. Right? Prema Vasyan, subjugated by the love of the devotees. You can see that in the form. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that the Anubhavas, you can see in the form. Does that make sense? So therefore, you just have to mention the qualities. And because those qualities, those are the alambana, and those qualities. Yeah. Does that make sense? Vrajanath, what are the four kinds of dasya? Dasya, right? Because he mentioned that there's in all four kinds. Then this is what's there. So yes, what is Goswami? They are the adhikrita das, qualified servants; asrita das, sheltered servants; Parishada Das, constant trustworthy companions; and Anugata Das, obedient followers. Right, so those are all different moods within this. Right, qualified, constant, trustworthy, and then you have the sheltered and obedient. So you kind of have those two basic moods, and each one of those then has that. So then, Akrita Dasa indicates that the servitor is qualified for a particular service to the Lord by always considering himself the property of his master. That means means you have a skill, but unless you have the idea that that skill is for others to appreciate, it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? You might be very expert at an area, but the idea is I'll only use it when I need it. Does that make sense? So it's not a quality of servitorship. Just because you have a skill, that doesn't make one a servitor. The aspect is here, considering yourself the property of the master. Therefore, if I'm the property of the master, what does the property do? Right? Does that make sense? You have a hairbrush. What does it do? Brushes hair only when it feels like it? Right? No. Whenever you want, it brushes hair. Right? So the same way, it's whatever skill they have, because they belong to the Lord, whenever that opportunity comes up for that service, they're there doing that service. Right? So that's what atikrita, qualified. This servitor always indulges his master and maintains a meek and humble disposition before the Lord. So he's always trying to render that service, but he's always meek and humble. Right? So that's the common point when we say the shelter. That's common throughout. Right? If they're manifesting something that's not meek and humble, that's just that particular anubhav, or that particular sanchari bhava. Right? Does that make sense? It's not part of the stai bhava. They said no, but the, you know, but they're showing arrogance. The cowherd boys, Krishna, you have such strong, arms and all that, and you defeated everybody. Like that. So they're glorifying, but you can't defeat me. And they say, well, what arrogance, like that. But it's not stai bhava. That's part of the anubhava. But the materialist in the material world, his false ego is his stai bhava. That's what he is. That is his identity. I am this. In a sense, there's a difference. That's why we get confused. No, but there's some false ego there. Because there's that pride. But it's different. That's just a pride in something else, like Hanuman, this is my master, and you're saying something against my master. So therefore, no problem, we'll burn your city down. I'm a monkey, we do these things. If I was a Kshatriya, you don't do these things. I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm a monkey. Hey, I burn your place down. like that. So, has advantages. And Ashrita Dasa, which was next. Anudatta, Ashrita, sheltered servants. And Ashrita Dasa has the mood of having taken complete shelter of his Lord and is always ready to fully execute his master's orders. Right? So one is he has a skill and he belongs to. The other he's taking shelter of and is ready to do whatever he's told. Right? So it doesn't mean he doesn't have a specific skill. But it's more about, I've taken shelter, so I'm ready to do the service. While the other is, I have the skill, that skill is always there for the Lord whenever he wants. Right? Does that make sense? So, the ashrita, then it doesn't appear that it has to be a specific service that they're expert at. But more important is the mood is different. Right? Even if they always render a specific one, it's a slightly different mood. The Parishada Dasa is a constant companion and associate, trustworthy and loyal. Right? Because the other is that he's there. It's not that the others aren't trustworthy and loyal, but that's not the basis of the relationship. Right? The submissive, affectionate Anugata Dasa always considers his Lord as Prabhu and is thus fully compliant to the desires of his master. Right? You understand? So you're taking that shelter aspect of that, but it becomes that very kind of warm, very affectionate kind of aspect. The other one's, I'm the servant. I'm here. I'm ready to do any time. But the other said, he's the master. So therefore, I'm ready to do anything. You catch it? It's a slight different flavor. So all he's saying is that there's these four flavors within Dasya Rasa. Rajanath, who are examples of Adikrita Dasa? Goswami, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, the Devas and Devis are Adikrita Dasas and Dasis, having earned the qualification for positions of authority in the administration of the material cosmos. They serve the Supreme Lord in that capacity. Right? So they have a particular qualification, they do that qualification to please the Lord. Who are examples of Ashrita Dasa? Goswami, the Ashrita Dasa are of three kinds. Sharanagata, surrendered. Okay, the mood of having taken. Yeah, Jnani, enlightened, and Sevanishta, fixed in service. Kaliya Nag and the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha are examples of Sharanagata Das. The rishis headed by Shaunaka discarded their aspiration for mukti and took devotional shelter of the Supreme Lord. Right, so that's enlightened. Sri Hari, Supreme Lord Sri Hari, thus they are Jnana Nishta Dasa, enlightened servitors. Attached and dedicated from the very beginning to Bhagavad Bhajan, Chandradvaja, Harihara, Bahulasva, Ikshvaku, and Pundarika are Seva Nishta Dasa, servitors absorbed in service. Vrajanath, who are examples of Parishada Dasa? Goswami, Uddhava, Daruka, Satyaki, Shutadeva, Satrajit, Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra, etc. are Parishada Das. Although they often offer advice and counsel, they also render other appropriate services according to time and circumstance. Right? Because just because you're in a senior position doesn't mean you're not a servitor. So you're offering advice as a service that the Lord will get the best benefit. Right? Because we're taking, you know, these, you know, groveling on the ground, you know, just wearing nothing, you know, like that, you know, covered in mud and probably a few, how you say, whip, you know, lashes from the whip, you know, marks on your back. Like that, you know, that's, you know, Dasya Raj, you know, but no, it just means you can be in a superior position and also be servant, you know, so, I mean, that means, it may sound strange, but that means sometimes even when parents give advice to the kids, it's that mood of Dasya that they're actually trying to benefit them, right, you know, there's also other times when it's, you know, it's my kids, so I do with them as I want, so they got to do as I want, so I want this for me, so therefore they got to do it. That means you have that also. But the point is they can be giving the advice because it's actually good for the child. So it's actually servitorship. Right?
When he mentions Nanda, he has a vatsalya and
I think he's taking as the mood of taking complete shelter of the Lord. Right? So he's bringing out that aspect. That we'll see as we go. But the point is that there's a mood of having taken complete shelter. You know, so that's, you know, unless there's another Nanda, because there could be more than one Nanda. Yeah. There can also be more than one Upananda. But generally speaking, these are pretty prominent names. So, like that. Bhishma, Parikshit Maharaj, and Vidura are also Parishada Das. Oh, but these are Uddhava is the best amongst all the beloved Parishada Das of Krishna. Vrajanath, who are the examples of Anugata Das? Okay, submissive affectionate. Those servants, Goswami, those servants whose hearts are always immersed in affectionate service to Krishna are Anugata Das. They are of two categories. Those who reside in Vrajadam and those who reside in Dwarkapuri. In Vrajadam, Raktaka is their leader, and there are Patrika, Patri, Marukanta, Maruvrata, Rasala, Suvilasa, Premakanda, Marandaka, Ananda, Chandrahasa, Payoda, Bakula, Rasada and Sharada. In Dwarkapuri, there are Suchandra, Mandana, Stamba, and Sutamba. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that there are three types of Parishada Das. Durya, topmost direct servant. Dira, steadfast servant, sheltered by Krishna's beloveds, such as Satyabhama, and Vira, sheltered servant, thus proudly unconcerned about others. Ashrita Das are also of three types. Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. Siddha, having attained perfection. And Sadaka, a practitioner aspiring for service. Ashrita. Okay, mood of taking complete shelter. Vrajanath, what are the Udipan in Dasya Ras? Okay. The sweet sound of the flute, the sound of the Sringi horn, Krishna's smiling glance, hearing of Krishna's wonderful qualities, the lotus flower, the impressions of Krishna's lotus feet, fresh dark blue rain clouds, and Krishna's enchanting bodily fragrance are Dasya Ras Udipana. Stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainita Gaurupaya.